Blog Talk Radio.
Say it loud, say it loud, say it loud, say it loud. Good morning, y'all. Good morning, good morning. I'm black and I'm proud. You can never say that song too much. You just can never say I'm black and I'm proud. And you need to say it more these days because we got a generation that really don't understand what black and proud mean. They think it's looting, burning. I think it's somebody else directing our path. It's more than just saying Black Lives Matter. It's more than that. You know, knowing that your life matters and to be working toward a future and whatever we have to do. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. What does that mean? How do we carry ourselves? How do we carry ourselves? How do we look? What do we think about the community? What do we think about how we going to be? To be proud of yourself do not mean that you hate somebody else. And that's what people mess it up at. They got black folks scared that if you fight for yourself, you be proud of yourself, and you raise your children to be nationalistic, that you something wrong with that, and everybody else is doing that. That does not mean that. It don't mean what you do. You don't get in folks' personal life or nothing else. You know, you say, I'm black and I'm proud. And to be proud to be black, especially black America, is to pay homage and honor to all of those who came before us. To pay homage and homage to all those who sacrificed for us, who did things for us. All the things that we went through, we need to reflect. What do you do at the end of the year? You reflect on that year. You reflect on what went on this past year. But as a race, you got to reflect and go all the way back and see where we are today. And what are we doing to be proud? To be black and proud is to be a S.B. Fuller, where you open up factories and businesses. You know, S.B. Fuller book is really a good book for folks to read. Most folks don't really understand him, who he was, what he did, but all those factories he had and all the black folks he put to work. And when you think about it, you think about Gaston in Alabama, who had all those hotels and had banks and had a whole business in Atlanta. and all the people he put to work, in fact, and Robert's Motel, all those folks. I think about Gaston. When we were traveled, we would stay at the Gaston Motel in Birmingham. I meant Birmingham. And when we would travel, we would stay at Gaston in Atlanta, whatever. We would stay at Gaston when we would travel. And when Gaston passed, you know, Gaston didn't have any children. He kind of divided his stuff up and gave it. He kind of helped and gave it to his workers, but they went under. See, the same way with Johnson. When you look at Johnson Publishing, I was reading an article the other day where the judge allowed, I think it was an athlete, to purchase Johnson now, because the group that had it was digital. Johnson, Ebony, and all of that was not going too far, so another group got it. But I mean, Black and Proud, what did Mr. Johnson see to build a company? And if you remember, he started out on Michigan right next to the Defender. But he was the first Black man to put such a tall building up downtown Chicago. And he was so Black and proud that he built everything in that. Anybody that went to Johnson Publishing Company was proud. But I remember Mr. Johnson said that he would wear overalls and a cap when he come out like he was working, so folks could not know that a Black man was building that. And you went in, he built everything people could have. He built a restaurant. You know, you had a cafeteria. You had everything. It was just, Johnson Publishing was a great building downtown Chicago. But now, it's gone. And, you know, it's like, what do we do about longevity? And how do we have generational wealth? Or what do we do to pass it on? So you have to think about that. Or what happened to S.B. Fuller? What happened to S.B. Fuller? That the government came at him for low taxes when he could not... They couldn't get him all the way. And Fuller had people everywhere. But Dudley, he gave him the formula for the makeup. That's why he has Dudley School of Beauty Culture. I don't know how they're making it over there with this COVID. I need to try to find out. But you have people like that, not just Johnson and SB. We have folks like that all over a Black community when you think about the Metropolitan Assurance Company in Chicago, where it was those who got together because we could not have insurance. And, you know, we had those industrial policies. And a lot of folks, you know, you pay industrial policies. There was a suit out about that. The little nickel policy, you overpaid the industrial, and then when someone passed, it wasn't really enough to bear. But you look at Metropolitan, the Coles, and all that other stuff. That's just here in Chicago. Chicago used to be a mecca, they said. 75th Street, 87, 79. Our business was just moving and blooming. Longevity. As you reflect, I've been reflecting. I've reflected back, because you got to start out and move, you know, reflect within, move out, because you start with your family. You just found, you start and you say, what do you have and what do you reflect on? And you really look at your family. You know, it wasn't that long ago. Some of y'all don't know because y'all young. My son always said, you know, y'all was the outdoor toilet group. Yeah, but we sure did give a lot. Based off where you was, we didn't have no indoor plumbing. We had like community where we got the water with. That's a water bucket. They said dipper. Putting your dipper in somebody else's bucket. We had to heat the water. Had number one, number two, number three, tin tubs, foot tubs. Some call it slop jar, some call it other stuff, and then some folks say they got a pecan, where the paint can become the pecan. And that have not been long throughout the South. But even when you came north, you might not have had an outdoor toilet, but you was in a cold water flat. And you was in a flat where you were sharing with everybody else. You know, it was not long. I mean, that seemed like that's so far away, and it really not that far away. And what have happened is most folks don't want to think about that, like, oh, yeah, we, And I always think about how much love we have. I remember in Montgomery, when I was born on McGowan Street, and I remember where you got the wood, where you got this, where you got that. I remember when, I think it was in the kids I am, when they got lights and they string a light all the way down for one of us to get some lights. And we used to always look at the TV, but also getting home before the street light come on. And just a lot of things, but a lot of love and a lot of other stuff. I carried them. I think I took Ebony and Jim Leith with me too once. Carried my other daughter, Jamoki, my granddaughter, on the street I was born on. On McGowan Street, and we walked around, and I showed them different stuff. Then I said, you see this cement right here? She said, yeah. I said, well, we was in the city, so the city made our outdoor toilet. We didn't build ours with no wood. And she said, what do you mean? So I had to tell her different than what they did out way out in the country, what they did there. But and you reflect, and then there was a lot of love. We really... The caste system did not exist as much as a caste system has been put into the black community that might not have existed as bad back then. Because even those who wanted to be proper and taught us to try to be proper, how you speak, what you do, you know, how you look, how you carry yourself. And it was to really help you grow in this America. And most of them would go... And the churches, I mean, when the churches have stuff, it's automatic that the church is supposed to serve. They were built not for churches on this rock, I've been my church, but as an organized church for the widower and the orphans and the children to help. But then it got into a big business. It's almost like Jesus got to come and do what he did in the temple. You know, you see folks moving around with no humility. Even when God blessed them, they got to be this stuff all over Facebook, all that stuff. Look what I got! Look what I got! They got everything but the Holy Ghost and God. You know, it's about look what I got. Look at this. Look at that. And that's because sometimes people are not used to them. When they get it, it goes to their head, and they think things make them important, and things don't make you important. It's what you do for God, for others, and how you use your gift and talent that God gives you. That's the important thing. I remember when I'm just reflecting, and I'm gonna let y'all reflect when y'all call. When I remember when I was fighting to keep the public housing, and folks said she want them because that's her base, and it was not my base because most of them went to gate and other stuff. I did it because I felt children had a right to live in an environment where they have to worry about heat and gas and so on the state, and to deal with deferred maintenance. And I fought very hard to try to keep that. I was able to save the Dearborn homes and those houses down on Persian Road and some other stuff, put some money in there, but before I could get past the other, of course, you know what happened. But why am I saying that? I'm saying some of the same ones who parents had not been able to move in public housing to make it for their family. I know one person in particular. Their parents had 10 children, and because they were able to live in public housing, Henry Horner, and they were able to live, and parents, folks go to work, that made them be able, some of them go on to school, some be here, some be there, to do things and to branch off. That was what it was all about. Some of them branched off and went, got their own houses, some went to college, some went Army, all that. But they were the ones that were the roughest ones on 10. Now, 10 of them projects in my position was, and all of our positions should have been, no, we're going to keep them. People have a right to live, but we're going to deal with deferred maintenance, and we're going to have structure and accountability. And a lot of the folks that was arrested in them houses didn't even live there. They was using it for something else. And then they dropped the standards, and then y'all remember Reagan voted to give 18-year-olds or whatever they wanted, a person have a baby, right to go into their own houses with their babies. And once they did that, then the brothers started coming around on Mother's Day. and they start taking over the mouth. But the thing, I think the point I'm trying to make is that there's understanding nationalistic and reflecting back as to who you are and how hard we fought as a people. No other race would have destroyed that many of their people at one time. My son said to me the other day, "Mama, who built the institution? Who's all hands all on the institution of racism? Is our hands on it too? Do we participate in building that so-called institution, that building that stuff they said? Is our hands?" I said, "You, son, you got something." My oldest son Jimmy told me, I said, you said something there. Because is our hands at that institution of racism? Tear down the building. Just tear them down. We got to get rid of them." And when we was able to save all of them, we was fighting hard for Robert Till and Stateway and all, and we had them really up against the wall. They was really messed up. So what they did is they hired a black woman, Wanda White, some of y'all know Wanda, to go back and backtrack, and she went to each and every one of them LACs and all them people to sign, saying they wanted to move, they wanted to go out, they wanted to. She promised them houses and different, they promised them housing and all kind of stuff. Folks, sure, folks want something better, and folks ran. So by the time we got to HUD to meet, to make sure we work on structure and make sure we make deferred maintenance and that we start putting some accountability in the building to really do it like it used to be, they said, I remember Danny said, "Hey, it's over." I said, "What you mean?" He said, "They done all signed this notebook." And I always remember that notebook. It was a white big notebook. And each and every one of them folks that she had promised. And then some of those LACs sold out the masses of the people over there. And they got little places now, but the masses is spread out everywhere, and all kind of things that happens to them, their children, and everything else. And I remember talking to, I had a meeting with all those ministers. Well, that's, we have to fight for these on stage. That's what the fight for these people right to have these places and make them be better. That's what we got to do. We got to deal with deferred maintenance. We got to deal with structure. We got to have a code of conduct. And they really did not say, if you're not, you're going to be sitting up here on State Street on an island by yourself with no people around you. And sure enough, that's what happened. And met with all the principals, all the teachers, and you had, not only did you have principals and assistant principals and had a lot of black teachers and stuff, you had folks working in the lunchroom. I met with all of them. I said, when they go, you're going to lose your job. They didn't understand that. But you go down State Street and you see the emptiness. And I told the people, you know, and when they told our public housing in our community, not just in Chicago but all over the country, their hole, an economic hole, was put into the middle of the black community. What was that hole? Because all of those people that was working in the administration for public housing, or the people who was fixing the elevators, who was doing the floors. I mean, we never thought about it from an economic, nationalistic point of view because we don't reflect. That's part of being black and proud. You think about all the folks, even the guards, all the folks that really worked for public housing during that time, I would say 80% of them that was maintaining that stuff was black, and it created a black middle class. And I said, y'all better fight, because what are you going to have? So that was a big hole in Chicago and all over this country, you know, that that was put there in our community. And that's what you got to understand, the different holes in the economics. And then you got, and I'm going to take a break in about 5 more minutes, about 3. And then you have the economic piece, and you have other folks who understand. They come and do like we used to do, how we come together, put all our money together. You have to reflect. How do we put our money together, live together, help each other, family and community? That's what made us survive in this country as a people. But everybody trying to run away from being the people, and you want to mix up in everybody else's stuff but don't have your own. It's all right to go to somebody else's house. You can get your own house to come back to it too. And I think everybody's doing that. And I remember Gutierrez went to and he demanded that that he get some of those voucher numbers and some of those other things that they were going to do for his people, to put some of the his people, put some of the Latino people or whatever in some of them. And I was fighting, said, no, these belong to the people of the ones that had. But, of course, I lost once again because you had black folks hollering, no, they need to go. Post-trauma. Because they don't understand nationalistic, and we don't look back. What are we grateful? What are we thankful for? family, what we look back. So what you have now, and I'm going to have to take a break in a minute. So what you have is a group of people who so busy running away and not building on what they have. And once you have no foundation, you're going to sink like sinking sand. So that's what being proud and black, not hating anybody else, or not working with anybody else. I don't know. So we got to really think as we reflect back. The first day of Kwanzaa is the day, and I'll tell you what that is in a minute, what this day is. I know I haven't forgotten about Kwanzaa, and I might do it on another end and talk about the first meaning that too. But I just want us to be reflective as a people. What we was is not too long ago when you went down the highways and byways, you could not stop someplace if you had to relieve yourself or get some gas or you get your gas, get in your car, or had to eat or all that. That wasn't long. That was yesterday. But y'all act like, oh, no, this is the way it is. No. So they take all our money, all their money, and they put it other places. Everybody come here and enjoy the American dream. But they maintain their community. You can enjoy the American dream that we built, mind you, and still maintain community, but we run away from community. I think we got to know where we're going to go. Do we get some more people to be Martha Collins, to build some schools? These folks playing such a game with our children. Open the schools up, Jackson. I'm with you. But then what are you going to put in those schools when those children go? Nobody's thinking about the minds of the children, the psychological stuff in terms of education, all the violence going on, all the hate going on. Every time you turn on TV, they're telling our children that there's something is wrong, systemic racism, you're no good, UK is never uplifting. And it's almost to move them away from God, almost. In spite of what we have to do, there's still some uplifting that you can do. And so it's like to step on the last thing. The reason I was reflecting on that, and I'm going to talk about some other stuff later, and let you talk about Chris, what do you do? I was with my family. Family is everything. I was reading, y'all have to forgive me, and I laughed, and maybe I should have laughed. I was reading over the holidays in California when they were talking about who was going to take Kamala's seat. And I don't know when you get past a Latina, Hispanic, or whatever, because I don't know. I got to really see what that means through this other stuff, all the other Spanish-speaking people in Latino. I don't know. But anyway, so this is what happened. And I told them, I said, no, they're not giving that seat to no black person because they don't think a black person had it. So it was a big fight of the so-called, not the Hispanic at this point, they're Latino. They said, we have more people here than anybody. Blacks are only 6%, and they don't deserve that seat. And they fought for us not to get that seat. The progressive even was fighting for us not to. It's like, we're the progressive now. And some folks said, no, we need to give this to a black woman. And there was a fight about the black woman. Who's going to be there? You know what they did? They gave it to a Hispanic man. So you have this, like Carol Moseley Bronze, one-term Carol. And they said, well, this seat was into an Asian-American, Indian-American a woman. It wasn't an African-American, so, you know. It was really a big fight. So as I was reading the article and everybody was screaming about who was going to get the seat, I laughed. And I told my grandchildren, I want you to watch this because I want to give you a lesson in this. They're not going to give the seat to a black person. We're only used as a tool to get someone else somewhere. And we do it our own self. And that's a whole other thing. As we reflect as to who we are and to be strong, and how much time do we have? You know, well, some of us don't have as long as others, but what we're going to leave our children, what they're going to have, or they get stepped on. That ain't just there. Wait till the census. When the census come out, we're going to lose a seat. We're going to probably lose Bobby or Danny. I don't know. And the other folks are going to probably gain seats. When Trump say we don't want to count those who are not legally in the country as representation, because representation be wrong, y'all laughed at that. But it's going to happen. But I got some more stuff. We can mix it all in. I want to say Happy New Year coming up to you because Christmas is over. And I did celebrate Christmas with my family. We had a good time. And we were cooking, and my children was cooking with me. And it was a little easier this year. Well, you know, I've trained the next generation of children how to cook. Macy called me yesterday and told me, Merry Christmas. What are you doing? And I told him, she said, you mean little Dorothy's cooking? So, yeah, she does that. And then you had Jamoke and all of them cooking in the house with the next level of children I'm teaching how to cook. And I was explaining to him why I cook, teaching my children how to cook, take $50 and eat for a week, or take $50 and buy some junk and make somebody else rich and don't eat. So, we teach them how to cook from scratch. So they cooked a lot of the food this time. I was in there monitoring, and I was doing all that. Of course, y'all, I did my sweet potato pies. But I was monitoring them, but they did a lot of the cooking, and I want to thank them for that. But we had all my family, and we had a good time. And I know a lot of y'all during the holidays was feeling down, but you got to know it's God, and you got to reflect, and you got to keep moving. So we're going to deal with that on the other side. But I wanted to say Merry Christmas to y'all. Now we're into the Kwanzaa time. And I want you to just reflect where we are today. Where do you want to be tomorrow? Is it the place you want to be? Or can we be there if the children are not prepared and other folks got the science class, other folks got the math class, other folks got the artisan trade where they learn how to do stuff, how to build, how to do this. They got the skills. You know, you're going to need all of these things that we're running away from. And Chicago is one city. New York, Chicago, Michigan, all the cities, few cities locked down, they call them blue state, but, and a lot of folks are hurting because they're not working. But let's reflect and know that there is a God, and we're going to see you on the other side of the break. But I just had to get that out there and let y'all know. Nobody's talking about the fact that they didn't appoint a black woman in that seat. But you had two people there that was available for them. They said not only are they going to get that seat that Kamala had, that's all I got to tell y'all before I go to break. They will get Feinstein's seat. But that's black economic empowerment. Y'all think there's something wrong with black economic empowerment. The last thing is this Martinez, who's taken over Dorothy Brown's seat. She's already selected someone to take her seat. Dorothy did not select or try to turn someone else in to run for her seat when she decided to step down. I still think Ricky Borkin should have had it. And now we're going into Jesse White's seat, was being claimed now by the city clerk as she put her committee together. Are we going to claim it other than Yarbrough, when she won it? Do we have a young black that can take that seat? That we can begin to move somebody young, gifted, and black? Yarbrough is already in the county. She done moved from one place to the other. And what can we do, y'all? Hey, Black Caucus, elected, city, state, federal, are you coming together as we used to do with Beavers and all of us? Your so-called black committee, there is no black political organization. Are you all going to take this to the girls that she's putting money together? That's another man. See, it's so much stuff, y'all. People, they're saying, we're going to focus on economics, we're going to focus on education and politics, and we're going to gain. We're going to gain what we need, and we're going to move. And then they'll be saying, hey, y'all, more than you. Talk of Chicago, 69.VN. 773-591-69. We're streaming live. www.vn.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go, y'all. And we're on Blog Talk. If you miss us, you can go back. We on Facebook, group Facebook, www.vn.com. Hey, y'all, there's Kwanzaa. We're going to go into Kwanzaa at the next break. Talk about, we mentioned what it is on the 7 o'clock hour. But get your coffee, get your tea, and think about what you want to be and where you want to go from here. Dorothy Wright Tim, be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
With news and information coming to you from every direction, here's a team you can trust. It's the Commentators, WVON's exclusive group of thought leaders, sharing their perspectives on everything, from politics to business to community, from every angle and every side. It's Kimberly Ogoen, Carl West, Abdul Hakim Shabazz, and Yolanda Joe. The Commentators, the most exclusive club in Chicago. Join them weekdays, 9:20, 5:20, and 11:55 p.m. They are why we're the talk of Chicago. Samantha Thomas.
My girl, Miss Karen Ward Ross. What's going on, sister? How you doing this evening?
Hello, Miss Samantha. How you doing?
Yes.
I said, in my head, you're my BFF already after our call earlier. Yeah, I'm excited to connect with my Chi-Town folks. So I have a special affinity for the Chi.
Give us that address, yes. Karen. What's that address you said earlier?
91st of Wabash.
Come
honey.
On.
Stop playing.
Weeknights, Monday through Thursday, 6 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago.
So your mother knows about WVON. Now ask her, does she know about WVON?
Yes. Of course she does. Yes.
I love you, mom.
1690 WVON. WVON is everywhere you are, on your radio, on your internet, and now, hey Alexa, play WVON 1690 AM.
Getting WVON 1690 AM station from iHeartRadio.
Try it out for yourself. America is listening to WVON. From
I am somebody
to we're WVON proud.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Back out. The world waiting for you. We're back, y'all. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Dorothy Wright, Tim Wright at Coffee Tea in conversation with me. Hey, y'all, we're getting ready to go into a new year. Getting ready to go into it, but it's all right as we reflect. And what are we going to do here? Where we go from here? Dr. King's of Chaos, our community. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. iHeartRadio, take us wherever you go, Facebook, group Facebook. Okay, y'all, I'm going to go to this phone. This time is going away quick. And you on Blog Talk if you miss anything that you... Karen been early. Hey, Karen, how you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful. And happy Kwanzaa, which means unity. And everything that you spoke is true. That's where we at.
Mm-hmm.
But today, as a few good women, we're meeting in front of 35th and Michigan. And everything you spoke about, we're talking about today. The only difference is we're not going to throw any stones. We're not going to accuse anybody. We're coming together to say we apologize to our children, to ourselves, to our community, to one another. And we're saying if we have been part of the demise, we apologize, and we're going to start.
Hold on, Karen. Who is we?
Few good women. That's we.
A few good women. Okay, I got you now.
Mm-hmm.
A few good women.
A few good women.
Okay, a few good women, and you're going to 35th in Michigan. That's where the police station is. You going to the police station?
Yeah, 35th, right in front of the police station.
Okay, that's what I want to. Okay, and you're going from the police station to apologize to what?
To apologize to ourselves, our children, our community, and to one
well,
another.
Why the police station?
Because that's a friend of mine. We don't have to always do charity.
No, no, I just asked you. No, baby, I don't mean that. I just want to apologize and to do that. Why in front of the police? I'm not saying don't go to the police station. But why did you all choose the police station? That's all I'm asking.
Well, because, you know, normally we go in front of the police station and it's always negative. We need to start putting out some positive stuff.
Okay, what time are you going to be there?
2 o'clock on the dot. We're on time.
Okay.
2 o'clock on the dot to 3 o'clock.
How do people get in touch with...
interesting.
How do folks get in touch with a few good women?
708-351-4003.
Okay, a few good women. We got to focus on education and other stuff, too. I like that. Thank you, Karen. Okay. Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. Turn your radio down. Happy Kwanzaa to you, too.
And I heard about your holiday. I'm glad that you came together with your family like many others did, like we always did in the past and continue to do in the future, y'all. Don't y'all let nobody stop y'all. Keep the movement going with the family.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Merry Christmas. I have a Kwanzaa to you. Happy New Year. Thank you. Mil, you're one of the reasons I came in this morning because I said there's a lot of folks who want to talk this morning, and I was wondering where you was, Mil. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy holidays.
To you, too. Were your Christmas all right? How was your Christmas?
Every day is beautiful to me.
I'm glad, Mil. I'm glad. Just wanted to make sure you was all right. I didn't hear from you last week. So.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But you're fine?
Yes, I'm beautiful. We are black.
We are
beautiful
black.
Beautiful and forever, like the earth.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling me, because I've been wondering about you. I'll be here next week talking to you. I'll see you next week.
All right.
Thank you. Cass from California and a few other calls. I will be back because I really want to talk to you about Harris' seat. Don't hang up. I got to take a break, right? I got to take a break, Harris. So I want you to hang on, 773. And we got a few lines open if y'all want to call in, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.viewin.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Okay. All right, y'all. I'll be right back. Yeah.
Tell the truth, take your time, but do not tarry. You will all arrive but naked, equally endowed to make it. You should have everything you need.
Yeah, we're gonna keep that on hold. We're coming back with it. Later in the show.
Great the rest. You should never have to eat the great the rest. God's babies do not know how we are divided, or to bend them never would have been decided. Red and brown, black and white is how we bought them. Rich and poor, high and low is how we start them. Why do we make those distinctions when we don't have any clue what each child will dream or how they
Chicago and the voice of the nation, 1690 WBON, Berwyn, Chicago.
I'm Terry McCready. You're listening to Podcast You Should Know on the Black Information Network.
I'm Bethany Van Zelt, and we're getting into gratitude on today's The 10 News, where we're celebrating kids we're thankful for. Let's get into the 10 news.
10,
9, 8, 7, 6,
5, 4, 3,
2, 1.
Hi, my name is Sasha, and I'm 11 years old. I am grateful for my friends, family, and my school.
Hi, my name is Elliot Camille. I am 8.5 years old. I am thankful for my family.
Are you ready to get rid of the holiday stress? This is Dr. Patricia Van Pelt reminding you that you can still get the highest quality CBD in the market from Wakana for Life. That's right, we have the highest quality of CBD in the market. We have the CBD that you can trust. 847-231-2440. Call me, 847-231-2440. Wakana for Life, CBD that you can trust.
Tune in every Saturday at noon.
I am attorney Ernest B. Fenton, a business and real estate attorney in Illinois for over 20 years. If you're interested in knowing more about real estate investment opportunities and a limited partnership managed fund, give me a call at 708-991-7268. 708-991-7268. 7268. This is an opportunity for us to pool our resources, work together, and cooperate to achieve a common good for the black community. Others have pooled their resources and found value in our communities at our expense. We should own our neighborhoods. Buy black the block. This opportunity is limited to a specific group of people who meet the required qualifications of financial stability. Give me a call at 708-991-7268. 708-991-7268.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet, don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms can mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
This is Melissa Washington, Vice President of External Affairs and Large Customer Services at ComEd. Kwanzaa is a celebration of African heritage and African American culture. ComEd is proud to celebrate its seven principles during this holiday season. We introduce today's feature using a customary Swahili greeting, Habari Gani, which means, what's the word? At ComEd, we're powering lives.
Today is December 26th, and we celebrate the principle of Umoja, which means unity.
The principle of unity calls on us to strive for maintaining harmony throughout our families and community.
The principle of Umoja teaches us the wonders of life and the kinship and common interest of humanity.
WVON encourages you to spend time today exploring what unity means for you and your family, and what your contribution will be to bring about a more unified community. On behalf of A.S. McKinley Community Services, this is Jamal
and Letitia Malone.
Celebrate Umoja.
The University of Chicago Medicine Ingalls Memorial brings comprehensive primary care for the entire family closer to home. Each of our six South End locations offers convenient and personalized care, as well as access to leading experts across a wide array of specialties. Same-day appointments and urgent care services are available. Call 708-915-CARE to learn more or visit ingalls.org to schedule your appointment online.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
The present has grown.
Down the road we try.
some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
Got some difficult days ahead. But you know, he said, I've been to the mountaintop. He allowed me to go. And it's so funny, because those who was around Dr. King and understood what he meant by the mountaintop experience have fallen off that crescent to be on that mountaintop. Some of the things I see, some of those folks who was around doing the movement, we was giving up everything, and the way they're acting, you would never believe that they was there. But to God allow you to be with such a man and to see and to know, Dr. King said that the mean shouldn't always justify the end. And the end, because if the mean is messed up, your end's going to be messed up, even though you might think it is. But it's amazing, y'all, how many folks who was around during that time when Dr. King said we go from chaos to a community. You should read that book. And how they are acting. It's like some of the folks I wonder, they just be there for the moment, or is there really a commitment and a conviction to the principle of nonviolence? And that's a whole other thing. And he said, I might not get there with you, but we as a people get to the promised land. He wasn't talking about no pie in the sky. Folks rather make you think that so they don't have to be responsible. But the state that we're in now, that's what he was talking about. It's not too late for us to come out of it. We just got to reflect, and we got to do what we got to do. And we got to do it for the future of our race and for our community, knowing that to be nationalistic, to believe in yourself, don't mean that you hate anybody else. It is 7 o'clock. Wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world, the phone ringing, in the world, in the state, in the world, it is 7 o'clock, and we really need this, y'all. If I can just get through your head, Black America, Black America, Black America, proud to be a Black American. Take a deep breath, y'all. It's 7 o'clock. It's time to take that deep breath. We're going to do three times, y'all. Black, 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 black. Black, 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 black. One more time, y'all. Black, 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 black. Is that black enough for you?
In yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive man.
They forgot how to write. They forgot how to write, and they're scared to reach down, to wait for somebody else to reach down, and then they enjoy the fruits of the labor. That's the problem, Doc. That's the problem. They're scared to reach down.
Don't let anybody take your man book.
That's what's happening to the Black Americans.
Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of.
Nothing at all. We got a great history.
Somebody
Black American. Dr. King didn't try to destroy America. Tried to make it better.
They couched it in language.
Yeah.
They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right tonight.
You gotta get it right, y'all. Most folks giving y'all the wrong language.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I'm beautiful. As we get ready to celebrate his birth in January, maybe some people will begin to dig deeper and play some other Dr. King stuff like that, and also about his economics and about how he felt. Dr. King taught us to love ourselves, not to mean to hate anybody else. Harold told us that. But there's a thing, y'all. Let me tell you. In one of the FBI reports with Whovem, they moved to move us away from Black America because they were worried that Black America was moving in such a way that they was worried about us taking over. And if we, so they began, there's a whole report, they began to move Black America from where we was here to looking abroad. Not that you're not supposed to, because I've traveled, but not to own America, to stop making like there's something wrong with it. Everything was wrong with it. And then other folks come and they build and they build. They said, no, we got to take this away. And what they did is they put a lot of folks in our midst. It was amazing, all the people's name that was on that list, their slave name. So they put folks in place. I call it Ukabuka. I don't mean the real Black nationalism, to begin to move us away from some of that teaching and make us give up our space and place in this country. Even with the churches, they begin, they said, we got to make them get away because if they follow them preachers, we got to make them move away from the churches. So that was a mind. You know, brainwashing is something. You can get brainwashed without realizing. A mindset, because Black folks wanted to be, because we were saying black and proud and all of that. Because we wanted to be and we wanted to belong, like I told you, it was like orphan children. We began to shed America and reach for something else. In the meantime, we still here. In a country that we built that owe us, that we should have been building on our community, and we somewhere else, while other folks coming in rebuilding, like I told you about California, how they said, no, our numbers, they said, blacks only 6%, they ain't getting that seat. We getting it. They put Padilla, whatever his name, and they had two black women they thought was going to take. They said, no, she's not. In the article, it said she's a Indian American. That's what they, she's an immigrant, an Indian American. We deserve to have that seat. It was really a deep argument that was going on out there. And I followed it very closely up until they appointed. But most blacks so busy doing other stuff, they didn't follow that argument. They didn't watch it. All they know is they've been used again and will be used over and over again. You're going to find out. I ain't going to say too much about that. You're going to find out just what I'm talking about. And they did appoint Padilla, whatever this, the Latino man. And for them to say, much as we done had progressiveness and how we done people of color to hold together and the homophobes and all other stuff to move other folks, then when it came down to putting a black woman in the Senate seat, your progressiveness, your people of color, your coming together went out the window. They said, oh, no, we some sit. I don't got how much percentage, and the whites are 36%, blacks are only 6%. They're not getting the seat. And it was like a matter of fact. And I'm not, and the black person that was fighting for Kamala to get, for someone to get Kamala's seat was Reverend Sharpton. You did not hear an outcry of folks who was fighting for that seat, but Reverend Sharpton was fighting for a black woman. And their answer was, she's an Indian American immigrant. That's what they said. This is some deep stuff, y'all. But no, y'all don't understand. And we're losing. Now you got the Senate is full of women of color and white women. When Carol Bronze was there, Carol Bronze went there riding on the coattails of Anita Hill. They let her have one term, and they kicked her out. Them white women deserted her in the next term, the white and women of color. The people she had was black folks who tried to stick with her to put her back in there. See, y'all not looking at the political stuff, the parity, the way this stuff is shaking out here. And when we lose seats, we're going to lose black seats, not just in Chicago. Like in Detroit right now, you don't have a black, you might have one black congressman, and they only got a little piece of Detroit. Detroit is, they have got Detroit. Detroit, all this stuff, they're looking at the state house, all this stuff, taking over everything while y'all talking instead of putting together some stuff. That's why it's like, I mean, I ain't got time to argue with these folks about their belief when I see us going down like we're going downhill. When you see the economic and education, and then I'll put something on the table about education, our children of science and math. Folks call and talk about everything but that. The black colleges, they said, you said a terrible thing to waste. They didn't think it was relevant that black colleges got money. But let me see, it's what do we think is relevant is what Hoover and all of them put on our mind, and they have really messed up. You see a lot of black folks stop going in the service. I have relatives in the service. My little baby brother just retired last year. He did a whole thing, and I have other relatives down south in the service, and they come out and they build businesses and they do things. These other folks are going in and they're building their businesses and coming out. When you look at Tulsa, those people was tough out there and built that town. Most of them have been Korean veterans. We don't, what do you give besides take? You got to give. You got to believe in something, and you got to give up something. You know, you got to be a part of a country and of a community and a family. But if you can pull that down, the FBI, who haven't released the whole thing about how they did the churches? That's a white Jesus. We know we want no white Jesus. Don't go over that white Jesus. Don't go with this. And they had all them folks with their slave names on it, that they had dispersed into our community, from our culture, everywhere, to make us move back. And it had an effect. You know, that's all. I tell y'all. Talking Chicago 689 at WVON. Our number 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.viewing.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, a group Facebook. We on Blog Talk. Take us wherever you can, if you miss anything, get, you know. And I was talking about longevity and what we have to pass over. That was in the early. I'm not going back over that. We got a few magazines like Black Enterprise and stuff like that. We got to look at the pattern, everything everybody did when it came to us. There's a Hispanic, they put together, they really got all one, patrolman league, housing. Everything that we did, the whole thing, that we don't have anymore, we shared it because we didn't think it was good to have, and other folks picked it up. And I'm going to go to this phone because I want to talk to Lee from California, who's going to tell me about what's going on with Kamala. Lee, I want to know what's going on with Kamala. Thank you, Lee. Come on, let's talk.
Hey, Mother Tillman, this is Terrence calling from Los Angeles.
Yeah, okay. Come on, Terrence.
You know, you know, as California goes, so goes the nation. And this program and this show, what you see out here, is coming to a theater near you.
And you right? Tell us about it. And was I wait? Was my analysis of what happened correct?
Yeah, it's correct. So
okay.
You got these so-called these racist white liberals and progressives like Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, the governor Gavin Newsom, that. The Democratic Party has a new Negro, and it's called a Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you had two black women. You had Karen Bass, congresswoman from L.A., and you had Barbara Lee, congresswoman from Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both of those women were hoping that they would get the seat. But Dianne...
So they was good. They was good. They was good Negroes, wasn't they?
They were good Negroes. Dianne Feinstein, who's almost 90 years old, been in the Senate forever, instead of her retiring and stepping down to make room for the Mexican guy and a black woman, she told the governor to appoint the Mexican, and she won't step down. But see, like I said, I called my congresswoman, who's Maxine Waters, last month, and I told her that a black person wasn't going to get the seat. She can't say nothing because Pelosi is like Mike Madigan is in Illinois. Pelosi controls the money, so they can't say too much.
Mm-hmm.
They got to fall right in line with what the Democratic Party tells them to do.
Mm-hmm.
They can't push hard, and they can't push at all. This is what's happening.
Well, let me ask you something. I was reading. I followed as much as I could. And I laughed not laughing like joyful. I laugh because, you know how you make that, And I told my children as I followed, I said, the black woman is not going to get that way. And when they start using things like, they start using the same tactics they said they used, the progressive was moving on. They was, when they said, we're the majority.
That's right.
You know, they said blacks was only 6%. They don't deserve it.
Well, the blacks make up about 9%. The Mexicans make up 40% of the state.
But I understand, and a lot of them just came over illegal, and black folks were for that too. But
right, most of them came over illegal.
Listen, I know it, and that's what when Trump said we should only give representation based off folks who are legal to representation. Folks call him a racist. They didn't like him, and it's really deep. The courts the other day upheld it, but they said that. But it is coming to our city. It's coming to Chicago. When you see Detroit right now, Detroit do not have, but they have one black congresswoman. She only have one little piece of Detroit. Detroit, Khalib never talk about Detroit. She's always talking about Pakistan or something else. But it's coming to us, all of us, Terry, all of us. So what are y'all?
Right, the only time they use you is when they need a Clyburn, right? Like you did in South Carolina, they use him for that, and then they spit you right back out.
Did you see what they? You would think Clyburn would be at the table more, wouldn't you?
You would think, Mother Tillman. But I'm gonna make room for the other callers. I just wanted to, you know, check in and let you know what's happening here, and it's moving your way.
I thank you so much. I needed that call. Look, y'all, I've been following this stuff ever since Kamala got chosen. Y'all, Kamala. But they, like they said, because they got together to put her in. Like they, in other words, they said, didn't no blacks put her in? They said she was an Indian American. That's what they said. And we deserve that seat. The immigrants, most of it. And I want you to see now, this brother Terry said the Mexican. He didn't say Hispanic. He said, well, that's why they were saying Latino. Well, does Latino only refer to Mexican community or does it refer to all the Spanish-speaking community? One day we got to I don't understand exactly what that means. Ziff, how you doing?
How are you, Alderman? God bless you.
I'm so upset. Merry Christmas and Happy Kwanzaa. I'm so upset. I was following that California stuff, but I knew they weren't going to give it because black folks been keep on using that. You use me up. It's deep, Ziff.
Well, you were on the mark in so much as I think that tipped their hands as to how Mr. Biden is going to proceed. But let me give you a couple of facts. The budget is $196 billion. This is the state. The population is 39 million people.
Now, what state? You're in California?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Out here.
Wait, Zip. Make sure you say what you said. People think you're talking about Chicago because they know you're from Chicago. Mm. You're talking about the budget of California.
Yeah, I'm in California until April, so I studied that race. I watched it, and I was interested in knowing who they were going to appoint for her. But what they did a bait and switch. They appointed the Hispanic Alexis Padilla, P-A-D-I-L-L-A.
He's a male.
Yes, but you got to remember, the Hispanic, Los Angeles.
No, they didn't say it. Now, see, where you messing up, Exif? I didn't read nowhere in the paper where they said they wanted a Hispanic seat. They said they wanted it for the Latin community. And that's where you mess up. See, Hispanic is not a race. Wait, for my audience, I want them to be a – Hispanic is not a race. It's a culture. It's a language. So
Hispanic,
that's it. When folks want to pull their whole numbers together, which you got folks from all over the world that speak Spanish – Latina, so they said the Latina, which is a Mexican community, they said the Latina numbers was. So you got to stay with what the language is. Go on.
So now this is what you need to watch. There's an assembly lady, a young lady, a woman out here named Shirley Weber, W-E-B-E-R.
I've seen her on television,
They appointed her in Alexis, in the Hispanic seat. He was the gentleman who is now the senator. He was the Secretary of State, so they did give that to him.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. Ziff, I ain't taking that. Let me tell you, they gave him that. Ziff. They didn't put the black woman in the Senate seat. The Senate had more power than the president. You could be out there with the Secretary of State, with Soros and all of them controlling, they doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
But the Senate seat, don't get bamboozled now, Ziff. You've been out here a long time.
Well, no, Alderman, that's what was interesting is that they can appoint her as the Secretary of State And that was the Urban League, and the groups, the black groups were out here were speaking, said that they wanted that seat to stay as a black woman. But if they can appoint her as the Secretary of State, they should be able to appoint her as the senator.
They sure could have, but they wasn't. The argument was, even with the progressives, the argument was they are only 6%, and we have the most people, and we have a right to that seat. And they said not only are they going to get Kamala's seat, they said they're going to get Feinstein's seat. And whatever they said, mm-hmm. they said Kamala was not a black American. She was an Indian American and an immigrant. They had a hell of an argument. I followed it. I followed that because I wanted to see the end result.
Well, you were on point, Alderman, but here's, Alderman, I want to throw one last thing to you. Is you should take time, if you would, and break down each cabinet position and what they staff and what their budget is, and people jaw will drop when they know each of those departments are like $200 billion and like 50,000 employees.
And the departments are getting paid. While the average American is out of work, being sick and dying and going through changes, while they play in politics. They play politics with the president in terms of making sure stuff stay locked down, the COVID and all the other stuff. But I got to go, Ziff. Enjoy California, but I tell you, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It sure was good to hear from Ziff. Lee.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Good morning.
Senator Harris's senatorial seat, is that of more significance to you than the January 5th Georgia Senate race where Reverend Warmark is running down in Georgia?
Reverend Warmark,
I think we deserve that seat. Do you think we
deserve you want to do if and. See, that's how we do. That's how we get in these arguments.
I said, do you think we deserve
No, I'm not going to answer that right before I say something else. I want you to hear me. What I'm going to say to you to get off into whether we deserve that seat, another one, the question I'm raising, I'm not going to be taken off, was that here you had in California, and you had black folks who we going to put this black woman as vice president, and we had this and that, and you out there when she leave the Senate, you have no black woman in the Senate. You have only women of color and white women. Now, there was a move out there among the black folks who have been coalescing with the progressive, who went and they automatically thought they were going to be able to put a black woman, one of those black congressmen in. The Latina community said, no, they're only 6%. We're taking that seat, and we're taking Feinstein, too. That's the point. But I'm not going to get into the other stuff, Lee, because I don't care about right now. I'm talking about what happened with this seat. Do you understand?
Upcoming.
Huh?
January 5th is upcoming. That's the Senate seat. We
you ain't said nothing about Kamala yet. I'm waiting on you to answer what I just said.
I asked you the question.
You didn't ask the no. Answer what I said. Maybe I answer the question. You have not dealt with the whole thing happening out in California. You want to answer that?
I don't care about Kamala Harris' seat.
Robert? Frank?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, my beautiful sister. Happy
Thank
holidays.
You. Robert, call back. You got dropped. Happy holidays to you, too.
Mm-hmm. That last call, I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, but he wasn't listening to me. He didn't want to deal with that conflict out there.
Hold on. They both are important. We know that, but you own this.
Yeah, but if you notice, he didn't want to deal with the conflict.
Happened?
The conflict.
But also, I think we should focus on why it happened. You know what I'm saying? Latino population. You see, Ms. Tillman, we got too many of our so-called leaders and organizations doing too much fighting for the Latino, for the Hispanic, which I wouldn't call it, you know what I'm saying? And it's cutting our own throats, all right? Like Joe Biden called us up on a bully pulpit. Well, they are popular, Charlie. You got to give them more consideration. Well, why they are popular than anyone else? Because we're competing population-wise with illegal Hispanics over having babies and legal Hispanics over having babies. That's not fair. So citizenship birthright is as outdated as Electoral College. If both your parents was not...
Wait, the Electoral College is not outdated. And I'll come back to it in a minute. Let me tell you,
tell you why I said that, though. But let me finish with this, though.
Okay.
I love to hear this. What you said. I say the citizenship birthright. I agree with the Republicans. It's being abused.
Hold up. We want to separate too. I agree with it. The birthright came from slaves. Once again,
yes, that's right.
It was put in place for us, like the affirmative action. And other folks that used right, it was for us. So it's a right that was given to us, the descendants of enslaved, and everybody else is using it. And that's why. But now let's deal with the Electoral College. If we did not have the Electoral College, there's only three states that would control our elections. That's Illinois, New York, and California. But if you live in rural Iowa or in Alabama or where I came from, you wouldn't have a stake. What they did was each person have a say-so who's the president once they get through going through that. Electoral College is important so that every state would have a voice and a presidential candidate would campaign in every state. So that's what I disagree with. That's all. Okay?
Like a citizen, you got to apply for citizenship like everyone else. If they don't be illegal, it may be hard for you to get it. That's what should be the law, and we need to stand with a couple because they're not standing by us. We need to be real. We need to be real.
Yeah, we stop having babies and stop teaching our children, stop doing everything. You know, it's deep.
That's right.
Thank you.
We fight for them and cutting on. So thank you, Ms. Tillman.
Thank you. You know, when you sit at the table and work with somebody, you ain't got to say, they can't have, I can't have, but what do you have? You can't give up everything. Dr. King always taught us, when you go to the table and negotiate, you got to say, I've already ate. You can't go to the table hungry. If you go to the table hungry, you're going to take anything somebody give you. But there's nothing wrong with sitting at the table. You can't be equal if you don't have anything. And there's nothing wrong with loving yourself. I don't get mad at these other folks for what they're doing. They're mobilizing and organizing political. I think we're putting our political education and economic in place. That's what they're supposed to do. It's called group economic, group this. I'm talking to black people in terms of how you didn't try to save the public housing. I couldn't get none of these so-called black folks help me save the public housing over there. You didn't save. You let all your folks get messed up. You're not fighting for education. You're fighting for everything. Anything, there's not going to be no stressful thing. Those are what you worry about, your economics, your education, and your people. And then you sit at the table, brotherhood, you got something to sit for. Manson?
Hotel.
To you too, my brother. I've been hearing from you for a long time.
Sometimes.
Come on, give it to me because my board is lit up.
Well, I hadn't talked to you in a while.
Well, I'm so glad to hear from you. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd give me a few minutes to inform your audience about Kwanzaa.
Well, the board is lit up. I got every line is lit up. I probably got one line open, but go on. I ain't got but a few minutes, but not a lot now.
All right, well, first of all, Kwanzaa, Yenu, Iwe, Nahiri. May y'all's Kwanzaa be with much happiness. The struggle to change society begins with our struggle to change ourselves, our values and views and how we live our daily lives. So Kwanzaa is alive and well, y'all. And I wanted to let y'all know that Dr. Karinga and the advocates of the African-American Culture Center out in Los Angeles extend warm greetings and best wishes for Kwanzaa. And they're having a whole week of Kwanzaa out there with a variety of organizations.
But we having some here, too, aren't we? Having some here. Today is Jamoja.
I'm going to get to that.
Well, you ain't got but about 30 more seconds or a minute now because I got the board lit up.
But I want y'all to know that Kwanzaa is a special time that we ingather, although this is COVID. We're doing it virtually now.
Okay.
But we got to focus on those seven principles.
Okay.
Moses
now, what
is the first one?
Mansell, tell them where you doing your Kwanzaa because I want to go to the next call. My board is lit up. I got 20 minutes to go. What's going on in Chicago?
Okay, the Belosi elders, that's Sister Sarazai and Hannibal's group, which we give it at the Sabo Museum, are doing a virtual piece. They pre-recorded it.
Okay.
So today, if everyone would go on Malcolm X College's Facebook page at 11 o'clock this morning to see the first release of what they did, you will be really enhanced because they're going to do the program virtually. Then, of course, Sacks Preacher with the Temple of Mercy Association, They have a calendar out, and they're doing something. So you may want to just Google Temple of Mercy Association Kwanzaa, and you get some information on what.
Do me a favor, man, son. I'm going to have Ebony get the information so I can put it on my Facebook so I can help share it, okay? Don't hang up. I'm going to have Ebony get you and put it on the Facebook. Put man, son, on hold.
Okay, but wait. I wasn't finished.
I got to go, man, son. Okay. Robert, how you doing? Tell that Mugen Man Sung information. I'll put it on my Facebook. My board is lit up. Robert?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, Man Sung is putting out some good information.
Yeah, but my board is lit up.
But I'm going to get to the point with Kamala Harris. That is more bait and switch, in which our community is going down the drain. The drain is open and we're going down. AOC, Johnny Come Lately, same thing.
Well, wait a minute, Robert. You know, AOC got folks thinking she came out of a bar, like she was a bartender, but she really came from a very rich family. She just went to do, she was slumming doing bar, but that was just something she wanted to do with the bartender.
Right, but they asked her about reparations. She thinks that reparations should be given to the people who suffered through redlining and Jim Crow. Doesn't go back to slavery. She's Alexandria Come Lately, like Johnny Come Lately.
Uh-huh,
he's coming on, and she's being weaponized. These immigrants are being weaponized against the enslaved community.
Well, you know, Dr. King said, "Men can't ride your back if it's not bent."
Well, they've been in the back for us because they're taking us down. You mentioned that the sister who was in the Senate for one term, they allowed her to come in as a coalition.
Carol Moseley Brown.
They're using these coalitions to bamboozle our people, thinking that we have a coalition. And the next thing you know, they pull the trap door out, and we're going down.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for calling. Thank you so much. My phone was lit up. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Pat. Pat?
Yes.
What you angry about?
I'm not. You know what? I really like how you think about the black family and all that. But I really think you always talking about people being a critical thinker. And you thinking of always talking about us having families.
Uh-huh.
Why are we not having children?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, how can we have? How can you have a family and you on a minimum wage $7.50?
Well, we had family. Wait a minute now. We had family without minimum wage.
You
Pat,
have a family.
Pat. Don't let that stop you from having children. Do what you got to do. I mean, you got folks who have money who is not having babies. They're just walking dogs. I'm not. You know, don't you see a lot of folks? It's a generation that just don't want children. Pat. Did Pat hang up?
No, I'm listening to you.
No, I stopped. I said you got a generation. You got some folks who just don't want children. That's what I just think people should not be alone. They should have a child, at least one. Because,
okay, what about can you afford one child?
Yeah, you can afford one child. Go get a pack of peas, Pat. I love you so much. Get some peas or some carrots. I mean, can you believe this rationale about not having my mama put a pot of peas and feed everybody in the block? I mean, you got folks who can afford, but I'm not telling folks what to do and not to do. I'm just saying, don't be like that. I believe in family. And that's how you live through your trees and through your children. If the black community, we have to live through our children. That's what I mean. There's something wrong. Children have always been very special to black folks. My screen went black. Children have always been special to us. What happened to us? The children stopped being special. Anita got an answer for that. Anita? Anita, going once, going twice, put on hold.
Hello.
Oh, there she is. Okay, but Anita? Yes, Anita.
Good morning and Merry Christmas and Happy Kwanzaa Man Song. I'm not worried about the Hispanic people. Yes, they were wrong. I thought that was really dirty. I really felt like that. But
let me straighten you out too. And folks is messing this up.
Mm-hmm.
Hispanic is not a race, it's a culture, it's a language that they use as a number. And that could take all the folks who speak Spanish, the black folks, all kind of folks, Puerto Rico, all kind of folks speak Spanish. California, they said the Latino community. The Mexican call itself Latin, Latino. You hear Gutierrez, Chewy said Latina. The Latino community said that. It wasn't all of the black, all the ones who speak Spanish. So we have to. Hispanic is not a race. It's a culture. It's a language. Go on.
Okay. Well, my son was explaining it to me like this, and his dad grew up in the Nation of Islam in Chicago
with
Elijah Muhammad. And Elijah Muhammad did a great work and he
yes,
established
he did. Yes,
the family.
He did. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all these people that's coming over here think they're going to steal from the black man. How is the black man going to take care of the Latina husband's responsibility, the white man's, the Chinese man, the Jewish man? Our men can't take care of all these people, so they're going to have to do what we did, establish themselves with God, and move forward. Everything else is theft.
But you know what I have found,
they
Anita?
They can't win like that. They can't win like
Anita,
that.
Anita, what I have found, y'all are just missing it. Because as Jesus said what somebody else do, these folks have not given up their God. One of the things that the Spanish-speaking Latino people have in common is Catholicism. Most of them are Catholic. Not all. Some are Christians. So there's a Catholicism. They believe in their God. All these other folks have a spirituality, too. It just might not be yours. And they believe, and they still have family and God and economics and all that. I think we got a misconception, Anita. Sure. Yes.
God is fair. God is fair, okay?
Of course God
there's
is fair.
There's false gods, too. There's and there's a false. The black man has established getting his private part cut off so that he could have a wife and have children. The rest of the people aren't excused from doing that. You can't come over here and steal other people's rights to do what you did,
okay,
to get
well,
what you want to get.
Sometimes
you can't do it.
Well, stand up. Man can't ride your back if it's not been. I think you'll need it. See, if I can get people to go to the point. Because remember, let's look at what's going on with us and what we got to do. But if we keep those folks are doing, anybody, I don't care who they are, even the black immigrants, anybody come here, people are doing what they do for their families, for their children, for their community. I'm talking about the descendants of Dr. King, so you have nothing to be ashamed of. The descendants of enslaved blacks in America, we used to be focused. It was where you could pull leadership together, and the leadership had a focus for our children and for our future. I don't know who we pull together for that now. Other groups have that. They have their meetings. You can look. They have their conferences, their meeting, and they focus on, like, for instance, all of the Asians and the Latinos, the Mexicans, all they came to come one. They have the educational council conference, the economics, the political conference, and they don't bring black folks there to speak. Anytime we have something, we got to bring everybody else. Look, to love yourself don't mean you hate anybody else, because hate is a negative force. Okay? I don't understand how to. Hello, Lewis, how you doing?
Good morning, Miss Tillman.
Good morning.
I think our people are missing the point. If we lose that one Senate seat, we won't have no black woman representing, you know, our black people. There's only 100 seats there, and we got two of them. One is Cory Booker, and the other one is Tim Scott. We need a black woman there.
And that's a blessing to have Tim Scott there and Cory, because for once we only had Senator Brooks. But the thing of it is, they said Kamala Harris was the Indian American woman. That's what wait. This is what California said, their argument. And you can't, and Sharpton's out there fighting for a black woman. I don't know who joined him, but they already did it. Now, he was out there with his voice. I have to give him the credit for that. But they said that we're only 6% and that the black American 6% and they wasn't getting it. And they said they're going to also get Feinstein. See, I think we got the wrong argument. Do you understand what I'm trying to say, Lewis, and what's going on out there?
Well, what I'm trying to say is that Miss Harris, she don't just represent California. She represents all of the United States of America, all black United States of America, all the black women and the black family.
But that's what you're saying. Is she saying that, or are they saying that? See, sometimes we try to take something and make it. I don't know. We have to see what she's going to say. Kamala did not come out and say, I want a black woman to take my seat. If she had said that, a black woman would have gotten it.
Right.
Black women from all over this country supported her. Now, Kamala could have very easily said, I want a black woman to take my seat. She didn't say anything about that. She haven't opened her mouth about who should take her seat or what she preferred. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but do you know why she didn't say nothing?
Why?
Because she done fell into that image, and this is the image.
No,
this is the image. She's an immigrant.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, I hear you.
Ms.
Thank you so much. What folks don't understand is that Kamala have not said I want a black take my seat. No more than Dorothy Brown did when she got ready to step down. She could have supported, I love Dorothy, she's my sister, but she could have supported Richie Borkin a little bit more and said, this is going to take my seat. Same way, this woman, Martins, who took her seat, she's already told Madigan who's going to take her seat. It's about understanding that to be a servant and to be in political office is not your private or your job or your power. It is there to serve your community. You should serve it, you know. But, no, we didn't hear Dorothy say, I want Rick Borgen to be my thing. I'm stepping down. She said, I'm stepping down. I'm not running again. Now, Kamala got to be the vice president. She never said, look, I would like for one of my colleagues from the congressman to be. Don't let her off the hook. Please don't. Don't y'all do that. Mike.
Yes, good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
I really appreciate the topic and your conversation today.
Mm-hmm.
I want to state this. I've heard and understand there's $68 trillion out there in the economy, and black folks ain't been talking about the future and going forth enough and where you want to be and how you want to be there.
I agree.
Your topic is dealing with macro, big. I understand macro, here, now.
Yes, yes.
The world and us also individually, how are we going to cover our own in regardless of what?
Yeah.
And then that's micro, you know, that's small.
Yeah.
That macro is world and government.
I got
government
you.
World and our own individual government. But that micro gets right down here at home on state Madison, so
right.
to speak. So we
well, you know, we was told
of that, and definitely talk about it all because it relates to all of you and what's going to happen to you and where you're going to be. So I really appreciate this conversation with all the comments and everything about it because this is our world, our life here on this planet.
Thank you so much, Mike.
And I just want to leave with this. You know, there's an old saying, understand the lay of the land. And the play of the game.
Ooh, I like that. That's right. My dad would have said that, James Wright. Yeah, James Wright would have said that. Look, y'all. See, I think y'all mix up. Let me tell you what them got with them scared black folks. Or the mess with this generation. Dr. King said that I fight for America to make it better. I'm fighting for black people. Because if my people are better, you will be better. But he also said you deal with folks with the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And you have to see, y'all want to separate the two. He said you deal with character. He said if a black person messed up, they messed up. You know, if a white or brown, whatever. But he also said, but you fight for black people. And I don't think we get that. We think to fight and be nationalists and fight for ourselves means we hate them. But I don't hate the Latin or none of them. You know, I have folks all over. But the thing of it is, how do we get ourselves together? That's what we got to talk about. Oh, before I go, let me just say this because y'all need to know about this. You know, because y'all want to help Harold Washington. We need all the help in the world we can get. We are having, we're going to be streaming live for a virtual fundraiser hosted by my daughter, Jemalita. She's the executive global director of Harold Washington. And they're going to stream on, it's going to be really good for the Culture Center platform. You can look on Facebook, YouTube. Starting at 9 p.m. And you can just call 773-373-1900 to get all of it. That's our New Year's Eve. We're just going to be good. We got the Chicago Blues All-Star. We got a lot of folks on there. And some of the back, you should call. And we're going to be streaming, and you're going to enjoy yourself. We got D-O-N Al Greer, DJing and all that. But you got to come on and see our virtual stuff. It is really nice on the Harold Washington for New Year's. We can start streaming 9 o'clock. I don't know what time. I don't know all. I can't remember all the stuff. I'm trying to remember it in my head. But if you call 773-373-1900, you'll get a chance to see it. Or you can go to event. You go to event HCC Chicago. Harold Washington Culture Center Chicago.org. Event HWCC Chicago.org and get more information. But y'all do that, and I'm gonna try. I got a few more minutes, and I'm gonna try to. I don't know how many minutes I got over there, engineer. Okay, now y'all gotta help me out. We gotta go a little fast here. But y'all, 773-373-1900. for tickets and all. And you can get tickets on Eventbrite. But we need all that. All donations are welcome. We need it to keep out because we're still working with our children, even though through the COVID. Okay, and it's going to be a jam. So 773-373-1900. Let me go to the phones. Hello, Rick.
Yes, yes. I think I'm going to be real quick. We got to change. We keep on doing this top-down, this hierarchical leadership. See, when you have hierarchical leadership, hey, we don't have leaders here because all these other groups didn't have COINTELPRO. They knew the right ones to shoot.
Yeah.
So we got to stop concentrate on having a black man in the White House in these high houses and have a black man over the Black House.
Look, you said something very clear. They don't know about COINTELPRO. We know about that. We know what we went through. And I started out early saying how Hoover put folks in place to destroy us. And we thought they was black. And they was there to really destroy us. And it had worked effectively to get our mind off of that America is ours and we have a right to the resources and we should fight for our children. They really turned us around, Rick. I appreciate you.
We got to do it. We got to do a new type of leadership where we have so many people they can't identify. All those young people and approaches out there, everyone with a camera phone putting information out. They couldn't track that down. See, this is the new type of leadership that we have to put in. So
thank you.
I got one last thing.
Hurry up, I gotta go now.
God's gonna pry reparations out of America's cold dead hands if they don't do right by us.
Thank you. Let me tell you, God is real. Anybody don't understand? They move black folks away from God. The same thing that brought us over. I'm just trying to make sure that let me see. Jim Alita, 30 seconds. Hello.
Hey, good morning, WVON, and good morning, Mama, and Merry Christmas to everybody. I know I only got 30 seconds, but we want to thank everybody who's been supporting the Harold Washington Cultural Center throughout the COVID pandemic and all the great things that we've been doing there with the children. We've been having in-person as well as virtual programming, and hopefully everyone will support us by tuning in to our free virtual fundraising extravaganza on New Year's Eve. It's just donation-based. It will be on, you can get your donation made on eventbrite.com or going to broadwayandbronzeville.com. On Thursday, December 31st at 9 p.m., the streaming will begin live, and we are featuring the original Chicago Blues All-Stars, the Broadway and Bronzeville Legends, and the Rising Stars. You can learn more about our programming for 2021. Log on to broadwayandbronzeville.com or call 773-373-1900. See you at the
773-373-1900. I just wanted to get, I was messed up. I guess I was messing up. She was telling, and we need it because we're still working with our children, y'all. And you know, we're not for profit and we're over there working hard. Jay.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you keep saying Hispanic is not a people, it's just a culture.
I say it's not a race. It's not a race. It just got put like that. Hispanic
okay,
is
not
a language.
A race.
It's not a race.
Not a race.
It's a culture and a race.
Culture and a language, whatever, okay.
Yeah.
I understand that. And also, it's also a political force.
Right.
That does include black people. I think when you was talking to Mansong, you was cutting him off. I think we should also
I wasn't cutting Mansong off. I told him, I mean, the minute he said, I gave Mansong 3 minutes longer than most folks, and I told him to give the basic for Chicago so that we can move on. Every line is lit up. When you got 20 lines, you got to get through. You only got 20 minutes, sir. And Mansong knew I'd give him credit, and I told him I'd put it on my Facebook. He had 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, and every line lit up. You kids, not fair. I told him, just tell me this, that, and that. You know, I'm not a Karinga fan anyway, but that's personal. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I love, you know, everybody knew who they want. Weatherspoon, but that ain't got nothing to do with Kwanzaa. Weatherspoon.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa to you. You're Moja.
Man, I like what you're doing with the hair. Watch the customer. We need to push that more. It's legacy.
Thank you.
What you're doing, the great work you're doing. How
many minutes I got? Mm-hmm. Okay.
We definitely support those children.
Yeah, because we're working with our children, and they can call 773-373-1900. We're trying to, and we got stuff going on now. We have to, and
right.
We're only still there because the community have supported us.
Hurry
up, Rumble. I gotta go because I got 1 minute.
Generation, I love you. God bless you.
I love you too. Thank you so much, y'all. Thank you. I really enjoyed it, man. Son, a virtual Kwanzaa celebration. online, the Quarry on 75th and Yate at 4 p.m. every day. And Mansung will be there on Wednesday. Mansung know I love him. Love him dearly. You know, anyway. All right, y'all. It's very important that we, as we deal with other things, that we stay grounded right here in America. You got the powers. Play a little bit up under me. Because you got power. We have to make sure we look at what is. You know, we keep looking in other places and we're going down. We got to know all our culture, our everything. But we got to see what's going on. We getting eroded. And we got power that we don't use. And to use our power, political, education, economic, and spiritual. God first. If we got God first, then we'll know what we got to do here as we move. But I think we get caught up paralysis of analysis and just talking. And talking about everything about where are we on the ground right here. I still say Kamala should have made a statement about that seat. Just like Dorothy Brown should have made a seat statement. But we get bamboozled, y'all. And that's not hating anybody that love you. You can't love me if you don't love yourself. And your bride, you can't love my child more than you love your own. You got the power God gave us to. And the power is love. God is love. Look, y'all, you got the power. All you got to do is make sure you make that road unwind. It's right there in your hand. I appreciate y'all. I came in this morning for y'all. That's why I came in. I'm not sure I'm going to come in next week or not. I'm going to try. I might. It depends. Don't forget to call 773-373-1900. Dorothy right there until next week. Telling you, you got the power. And until next week. Hey, the song got me. Till next week, reparations now. But somehow my soul remains. What is it?
In this slavery industry, is this nation's foundation of economy? What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands, God bless us, forced to be a field hand by another white man. Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine and Mother Africa, in which you raped and left behind, draining her natural resource. So to her people pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave. Kidnapped from my land, locked in chain. Brought to a new world to maintain. Hard to survive while my kind's being hanged. Is it over now?
I'm a former slave. I've been shackled and locked in chain. But somehow my soul remains. But is it over?
Imagine the word citizen as a verb and remind ourselves how to wield our collective power. I'm Baratunde. In the U.S., we have elected a new president.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
Abundance Bakery, 105 East 47th Street, wants to be your sweet potato pie depot. Serving the Chicago Bronzeville neighborhood for over 30 years, their donuts, pastries, pies, and cakes are legendary. And now you can get their homemade sweet potato pie. That's right, they want to be your sweet potato pie depot, made with ingredients only your mama would know. So stop cooking desserts and let Abundance Bakery take care of your baking needs. That's Abundance Bakery, 105 East 47th Street. For more information, call 773-373-1971. That's 773-373-1971. Abundance Bakery, your sweet potato pie depot. Open from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Serving the Chicago Bronzeville neighborhood for over 30 years. Call 773-373-1971. That's 773-373-1971. Abundance Bakery.
Different voices, one goal. Join us in protecting our community from COVID-19 this holiday season.
Whether you are in your home.
It's not the critic who counts.
So let us not be petty when our cause is great. We reject fatalism or cynicism when it comes to human affairs.
We open our hearts and our homes to one another as one American family.
We are the change that we seek.
Sponsored by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and the Radio Broadcasters of Chicagoland.
If you're experiencing COVID-like symptoms, whether you are in your home or ours, we got you. Advocate Healthcare and the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services are bringing accessible, trustworthy healthcare to Illinois residents. For trusted COVID-19 information and virtual care options, visit aah.org/we got you.
This is Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III at Trinity United Church of Christ, located at 400 West 95th Street on the south side of Chicago. We invite you to worship here at Trinity United Church of Christ. We have three worship services, 7:30 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m. Or join us on WVON during our broadcast every Sunday at 6 p.m. WVON.
It's time to focus with Robert McKay, Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. Indulge in quality conversations, enlighten your mind, and enjoy the ride while we protect, preserve, and prepare our today for our tomorrow. It's time to focus with Robert McKay, Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m., only on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Have you been involved in a car or truck accident? Have you been hurt in a slip and fall? Have you been injured due to acts of omissions of a medical doctor? Have you been told that you couldn't get paid because there was little to no damage to your vehicle? Have you been told that you do not have a claim because you are undocumented? You need a lawyer that will fight hard for you. You need attorney Janika L. Campbell. Call the law offices of Janika L. Campbell today for your free consultation. 312-273-7000.